The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Here ends the text. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Merry Christmas, that's the goal. This is what you, especially women, plan, work, and strive to provide. But you've been down that ho-ho-ho path many times before, and where did it get you? If it was to a merry Christmas, then why wasn't it a relief when Christmas was past? Mary Elizabeth and baby John can help. They all had a Merry Christmas. God can do for us what he did for them. God can make us leap for joy this Christmas. The burden isn't on us to make a Merry Christmas. We don't have to try to make ourselves merry or to get ourselves into the Christmas spirit. In fact, nothing we can try helps. Unlike the weather people, snow wouldn't help. Unlike the retailers, Christmas music doesn't help. Parties, decorated homes, or particular clothes do not generate the Christmas spirit. The true spirit of Christmas is a gift from God. You can't generate it, can't create it, can't fake it. No matter how many lights we put up on the house, no matter how loud the Christmas carols are played in our ears, no matter how many Christmas parties we go to, the byproduct of these will not be the spirit of a Merry Christmas. Oh, they might be fun, they might be exciting, they might be a distraction for a while. But the Merry Christmas spirit of the world, well, that gets put away with the parties, the food, the decorations, and the carols. The Merry Christmas spirit can't be manufactured by you or caught from the world around you. He, not an it, but a he, is a gift of God. God gave him to John the Baptist when he was only 6 months old in his mother's womb. He caused baby John to leap for literally extreme joy at the sound of Mother Mary's voice. John heard no carols play, saw no decorations, and hadn't been to any Christmas parties. Yet he leaped for joy. Same was true for Mary. The spirit of Christmas made her spirit extremely rejoice. Again, without a Christmas tree, carol, food, or gift. A Merry Christmas is a gift from God. Isaiah 9 says, God will increase our gladness in his presence as with the gladness of harvest. Isaiah says that God is able to give you more merriment than the worldly people get from their harvest festivals. I say, God is able to give you more merry of a Christmas than you ever got from the world or your own attempts. And God can do it without all your planning, without all your preparing, without your trying. In fact, God can give you a Merry Christmas no matter what your circumstances are this year. How can I say that so confidently? Because look whom God gives a Merry Christmas to in our text. A six-month-old pre-born baby. A baby totally incapable of getting himself into the Christmas spirit. A baby who can't be pumped up with positive thinking or produce one joyful thought on his own. Even if you're this incapable of having a Merry Christmas, God can still give you one. But what if things are really bad for you? Let's see. How bad could it be? What if you're a young woman, pregnant, engaged to be married, and the child you're pregnant with doesn't belong to the man you're engaged to? And you've yet to break the news to him. Think your Christmas would have to be mirthless in that situation? Well, the Virgin Mary was in exactly this situation. She knows she's with child by the Holy Spirit, but her fiancé doesn't. Yet still, God was able to make her spirit rejoice greatly, even before she broke the news to Joseph. Well, maybe you're not a young person faced with a difficult problem. Maybe you're an older one faced with a health problem this Christmas. Okay, what if you're a woman over 50 and pregnant? Your pregnancy is considered high risk. They tell you your chances of having a child with a birth defect are higher. Your life might be in danger. This was Elizabeth's situation. Yet what do we find? Yet do we find her consumed with worry or fear? No! The Holy Spirit was able to give her a Merry Christmas because He is the Spirit of Christmas. And He can do the same for you, no matter what your medical condition or age. But what is the basis for the Merry Christmas the Holy Spirit gives? Well, Jesus, of course. Well, you know the cliches. He's the reason for the season. It's His birthday. All that is true. But we have to get past those cliches, past those sayings, past those pat answers that we don't even think of. You know them already. And they haven't brought you a Merry Christmas in the past, have they? Mary, Elizabeth, and John have a Merry Christmas in Jesus. But specifically, it's in the fact that God has become man. God has taken on flesh and blood. Baby John leaps in the womb with extreme joy because the Holy Spirit has brought him the news that the one who is stronger and better than even perfect man was in the Garden of Eden has arrived to crush the head of the serpent Satan. Because his Savior was in the womb like he was, John rejoiced that his victory over Satan would reach all the way into the womb. Elizabeth rejoices at the knowledge that Mary carries Jehovah himself in her womb. She calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Lord in Greek is Jehovah in Hebrew. The God who walked with Adam and Eve, ate with Abraham, wrestled with Jacob, spoke with Moses from the burning bush, led the Israelites out of Egypt, and dwelled in a cloud above the Ark of the Covenant, was now in flesh and blood. Mary, too, is Mary in the incarnation. The insert misses that, though, translating, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. What she really says is the Mighty One has done great things to me. Jehovah, the second person of the Trinity, laid himself in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary rejoices because God has joined himself to one of her eggs, implanted herself on the wall of her, himself on the wall of her uterus, and has been growing there for about a week now. Don't you see how that eclipses any of the miracles, any of the wonders, any of the reasons to be Mary that the world knows? The miracle of God becoming man, that's what made Jesus Mary too. We know this from that Hebrews reading, which says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. This made Christ Mary because of his desire to help you. God the Son needed a body in order to take the place of every body underneath the law which no body could keep. God the Son needed a body so that all the sins that anybody ever committed in their body could be loaded upon his body and punished. God the Son needed a flesh and blood body so that he might pour out the blood, his blood, to atone for the sins of the world. Without blood being shed, nobody's sins could ever be forgiven. God arriving in our flesh is the reason we have a Merry Christmas. Because this means, in the words of Christmas hymns, No more does sin or sorrow reign. God with sinners is reconciled. Light and life to all He brings. Our Merry Christmas is certain because all of these things, the end of sin's reign, God being reconciled, light and life coming to us, they are done by God, with or without Christmas parties, decorations, carols, or gifts. You know what that means? That means no matter what your circumstances, no matter if your lips are chapped from tears, bitten from anger, or turned upside down from frowning, God can still bring strains of holy joy from your lips this Christmas. Why? Because like Mary, you can rejoice that God is your Savior. God being your Savior is not based on how well you plan or prepare for Christmas. God being your Savior is not based on how happy you are or whether or not you're in the Christmas spirit. God isn't like someone else we all know who might not come if we're crying or pouting. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and pout. Christ the Lord is still coming to town to save you. This Christ, just like the other guy, knows when you are sleeping and knows when you're awake. And yes, He knows if you've been bad or good. But you can have a Merry Christmas even if you've been bad. You can have a Merry Little Christmas even if you've been seriously sinful. Why? Because God has not forgotten to be merciful to you. He is coming to town not for the sake of good boys and girls, but for bad ones. Real bad ones. Christ comes to town to carry sins away, so He is not surprised to find them here. Christ comes to be punished for your sins, so he sure isn't coming to punish you for them. Christ comes to sinners for the sake of sinners to save sinners. He does not come because we're so merry and bright, but so sinful and dull. He comes to take our sins and give us His joy. But I'm not ready for this. Not ready to be merry at Christmas? Friends, it's that other guy who looks for the stockings to be hung by the chimney with care. It's that other guy who expects fresh cookies and a glass of milk waiting for him. Your Jesus delights in coming to you just as you are, without one plea. He came to John, to Elizabeth, and to Mary, though not one of them had everything ready, not one of them was in the Christmas spirit, and though not one of them was Mary before He arrived. Mary was just another sinner planning for a wedding. John was just another sinful embryo. And Elizabeth was just another sinful woman pregnant unexpectedly. But Jesus came anyway and brought a Merry Christmas with Him. What Jesus loves to do is to rejoice the downcast, cheer the cheerless, and lift up the depressed. What Jesus loves to be is light for the gloomy, balm for the wounded, food for the hungry, forgiveness for the sinful, and merriment for the mirthless. He does not come expecting to find your life already lit, your wounds already healed, your stomachs already filled, your sins already forgiven, or your Christmas already merry. Christ Jesus brings a Merry Christmas not to those who do everything possible to make one, but to those yearning for one from Him. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.